a codependent son, and a professional preacher. I said, Pastor, where do you get this stuff from? From God. I try to spend hours before God every day, praying, talking to God, studying. I say, God, I need something to tell the people. Judges chapter 17, verse 1. There was a man from the hill country of Ephraim named Micah. He said to his mother, remember that 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you? I overheard you when you pronounced your curse. Well, I have the money. I stole it. But now I have brought it back to you. His mother said, God bless you, my son. This is a sick relationship. This is a sick relationship of a man who cannot get away from the control of his mother, a mother who carries the purse strings, overly dependent upon her. Something's wrong here. Why would a man steal 1,100 pieces of silver from his mother, first of all? And then why would a mother, when he returns the money, only because she pronounced a curse on the person who stole the money? And he heard about the curse. And now he's scared. So he goes back to mommy and he says, Mommy, I stole the money. And what does mommy say? Mommy says, God bless you, my son. I really can't see my mother doing that to me if I stole 1,100 pieces of silver from her drawer. I really can't see my mom saying, God bless you, son. No, I can see my mother whacking me around the dining room a few times. And then whacking me a little bit more in the kitchen. And then opening the broom closet and getting out the cat of nine tails and whipping me real good. And then telling me, and you'll get the rest when your father gets home. God bless you. He stole money from his mother. And the only reason he returned it, because he was scared, because she put a curse on the person who stole it. His mother takes back the curse and says, God bless you, my son. A toxic mother and son relationship that obviously fulfilled needs in each other's lives. He's a mama's boy. He's still attached to the apron string. He can't get away from mommy. He's got to go to mommy for advice. He's got to go to mommy for decision making. He's got to sit down with mommy and ask mommy what she thinks. Because somewhere in adolescence, he didn't break the bond with his mother and start bonding with his father. It was a sick relationship. And it carries over into our marriages. People say, well, my husband is cold. My husband doesn't like intimacy. He's got an issue. That's why in our men's meetings, we deal with those issues. We hit them head on. Because if we don't deal with the issue will eventually deal with you. We have to talk about sexual things. We have to talk about power and control. We have to talk about intimacy. We have to talk about being bonded to our wives as soulmates. Because there's more divorce in the church than there is in the secular world now. And that's a shame because preachers are not preaching from the pulpit the word of God and the truth. We don't want to lose anybody, they say. How can we pay for our buildings? How can we pay for our good lives? How can I pay for my nice car? Because if I rock the boat, money's not going to come into the offering plate. That's not the reason you preach. It's not the reason you serve God. So he returned in verse 3, the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother, and he said, and she said, listen to what she says. I had totally consecrated this money to God for my son to make a statue, a cast god. And then she took 200 pieces of the silver and gave it to the sculptor, and he cast them into the form of a god. You know what this mother is? A liar. Because she said she totally consecrated this money. What money? 1,100 pieces of silver. And then she only gives him 200 pieces out of the 1,100. She's a liar and she's playing pretend. She had no intention of giving him the 1,100 pieces of silver. She only gave him the 200 pieces to pay for his idolatrous statue. So she lied about her total consecration. She's not a godly woman. Because a godly woman wouldn't have said, God bless you, son. A godly woman would have chastised him very severely and said, why did you steal from your mother? Why did you steal from your mother? She wasn't an honest woman. And I want to tell you something, my friend. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Young ladies, be careful who you get involved with. Get involved with a mama's boy, and you're not going to really marry him. You're going to really marry his mommy. Hear me. So dependent. See, so many men are looking for a mother and not for a wife. I'm going to say that again. So many men are looking for a mother and not for a wife. Because in society, the male role modeling and the male mentoring seems to be non-existent. We're not teaching men to be men. We're not teaching real men to be real. We have too many mommies coddling them, helping them make decisions, tucking them in at night, trying to sleep in the bed where their wife sleeps. Come on, people. She's not an honest individual. She gives in money to make an idolatrous statue. A statue. Some inanimate object that they're going to worship and think is God, and they're going to call it God. What's wrong with people? Have we lost it in society? They say only 7% of people in America now believe in God when it used to be 93%. We're becoming like England. We're becoming like Europe. In England, if you use the name of Jesus in many communities, they say, who's that? They don't even know the name of Jesus in communities in Europe anymore. We are so far removed generationally from Christ and the gospel, he's not even recognized. This man, Micah, verse 5, made a private chapel. He's got to put this God in a private chapel. I got to have a room for this God, for this inanimate object. And he made an ephod and some teraphim idols and had ordained one of his sons to be his priest. What did he do? He ordained one of his sons. I lay hands on you, son, to practice idolatry. I lay hands on you, son, to bow down to the statue. I lay hands on you, his son. He's supposed to be a man of God. He lives in Israel. He's supposed to be a man of God, and he's ordaining his son to bow down to an inanimate object. That's exactly what's happening in society. Fathers are out to lunch. They're out to lunch spiritually, and we're ordaining our children to be sinners in this world. And men don't care. As long as we can watch our football game, as long as we can drink our beer and eat our potato chips and check out and let mommy take care of the house, let mommy be the manager, let my wife, who becomes mommy, let the wife take care of all of this business, go talk to your mom. No, we need men in society, my friend. We need men. Listen, I work in a military complex. I work in a boot camp, and I see men come in who can't take orders. I see men come in who are drug addicts and alcoholics and criminals. But I tell you, when that drill instructor says, you will do what I say, sir, yes, sir. When a direct order is given, sir, yes, sir. Or else we'll boot you out of the program and you'll go do your time in prison instead of doing 3 months. We make men out of drug addicts. We make men out of alcoholics. We make men out of criminals. Where does that leave the church? We have failed men. We have failed in this pulpit. And shame on the preachers who don't want to preach truth anymore. Shame on us. Because we just become professional preachers looking for filthy lucre so we can live a comfortable life. That's why I go to work. Because you don't own me. I said, that's why I go to work. You don't own me. You can put in, you don't have to put in. Whatever. That's between you and God. But I'm going to preach you the truth as long as you come here and as long as God puts me behind this pulpit, because I'm sick and tired of looking at society and we're disintegrating. We have children who become victims because men don't want to be men. Our children are going by the wayside. What do you think our children are going to become if we don't become spiritual dads, if we don't become spiritual priests in our home? What do you think our children were going to turn? We're going to ordain them to worship inanimate objects. And it doesn't seem like men care anymore. It seems like we've checked out. People say, I'm stressed. I'm so sick of hearing men saying I'm stressed. Well, suck it up, mister. Soldiers in Afghanistan are stressed. They're stressed. Soldiers in Iraq fighting for their life, they're stressed. And we're saying we're stressed in America. Stressed with what? Going to work, doing your job, doing your duty, being a husband, being a father. That's stressing you out. That man in Afghanistan will trade places with you. That man in Iraq will trade places with you this morning. And we say we're stressed. I got to go get a massage. I'm stressed. Get your fingernails done too. Get your toenails done too. And call yourself a man. No. God has different standards, my friend. What did he do here? Micah was a sick compliant with his mother. See, because he went along with his mother's plan. Here's 200 shekels of silver, son. Let's go make an inanimate object. Instead of saying to mommy, you know what? That's wrong. There's no place here for that. Don't interfere with my life. I want to be a spiritual man. I want to be a man of God. That's why the Bible says to leave your mother and father and join with your wife to become one flesh. Listen, you got mommy troubles. When mommy comes into your house and she's interfering with your marriage, you got mommy troubles. You got real issues. Because no woman that I know who I've ever met wants to really share their bed with another woman, especially their mother-in-law. Hello, people. Don't lose me now. Stay with me. What did he do? He made a private chapel, which was an imitation of the sanctuary of God. Look at the imitation religion here. He made a graven image, which was an imitation of the true God of Israel. He made an ephod, which was an imitation of the garments of the priest in the Old Testament. He made a teraphim, which was an imitation of the cherubim that was above the mercy seat in the tabernacle. He ordained one of his sons to be a priest who was an imitation of the priesthood of Aaron. See, what he's doing is setting up his own religion. That's what men do in society. We set up our own religion. We love our guns. We love to hunt. We love to bowl. We love to be with the boys. And people tell their wives, it's none of your business what I'm doing. Oh, really? Did you marry them? Did you marry him? Did you marry the bowling team? Did you marry the hunters you go in the woods with? Do they provide you sexual pleasure and love and romance? Don't talk about that, Pastor. Do they sleep in your bed? No. So you're playing pretend and imitation. I'm a no count, the wife says, when they're around. I'm just sort of like an appendix. I'm sort of like a necessary evil to fulfill needs. A woman does not want to feel that way. This man is playing pretend. This is what I call made-up religion. It's a drastic deviation from the truth. He knew better. And on top of it all, he was a terrible mentor, because now he's making his son a quote-unquote priest. Why? Why was this happening? Just like it's happening in America. Verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel. People did whatever they felt like doing. It's no different today. More and more people are moving away from God and they're creating their own philosophy. Oh, I'm telling you, we got people who are hugging trees now and crying on the internet. Mother Earth, Mother Earth. Hugging trees. Calling the earth mother. Sick. The earth is a mother? Not to me. A child doesn't go to the mother earth to get breastfed. Come on, people. Mother earth? Hugging trees? No. It's man-made religion. It's New Age religion. It's philosophy that's coming to the church. It's junk. It's nonsense. It doesn't even make sense. If you go down to the bar and you talk to drunk people and you say to them at the bar, listen, hey, listen, these people on the internet, I want you to watch this video clip. They're hugging trees. You know what they would say? They're sick people. They'll probably tell you they need to go to church. I'm telling you, that's what they would tell. They'll say they're flat out smart, those drunk people. Because you know what? They just say what's on their mind because there's no inhibitions. They'll say, you know what? Those people are sick people. They need God. Imitation religion. It's just like the bar. Step up to the bar. It's the altar. The bartender is the pastor. He provides counseling and spirits. Spirits. Come on. Come to the bar. Step up. The music is playing. Imitation music. We've allowed that into the church. We've desecrated the holy temple of God. This man now makes his son. And now he creates this philosophy and these religious beliefs. My friend, is America any different this morning? We're there. We're ready for the Antichrist. We're ready to accept anything he wants to give us. Two chickens in every pot. Cell phone, dish network, whatever you want. We're ready to accept that even in America. Because we've lost our spiritual compass. Listen to what happened in verse 7. Meanwhile, there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah and from the family of Judah. He's from the family of Judah. Judah, the people who praise God. This young man. And he was a Levite, which means he was a priest. He was a man of God. But was a stranger there. He left that town, Bethlehem in Judah, seeking his fortune. He got as far as the hill country of Ephraim and showed up at Micah's house. Oh, this is beautiful. Here's a priest. Here's a preacher. Here's a man of God that's now wandering in the wilderness because he has forsaken God. And where does he end up? Of all places, he ends up in Micah's house, who just sculptured this inanimate object that he's calling God. Matthew Henry says this, and I quote, "Micah thought it was a sign of God's favor to him and his images that a Levite should come to his door. Thus, those who please themselves with their own delusions, if providence unexpectedly bring anything to their hands that further them in their evil way, are apt from thence to think that God is pleased with them." End of quote. Micah is under delusion, under a deceiving spirit, a seducing spirit, which God told us and warned us in the last day, there will be deceiving and seducing spirits to take your mind away from God. And what happened on that cross, that blood of Jesus Christ that was shed and poured out on the floor, scooped up by the Holy Spirit, put on the mercy seat in heaven to forgive our sins, people are going to say, I don't believe in that anymore. I don't believe in that Jesus. I don't believe in that blood. I don't believe in that Christ. Because you know why? You've been hooked by a spirit. And he put a hook in your nose and he took you away from God. And just the same way that Micah made that inanimate object, that's exactly what we're doing in America. Making an inanimate object and we're calling it God. Listen, follow me. Micah asked him, so where are you from? He said in verse 9. He says, I'm a Levite. He was proud to say that. Oh, I'm a Levite. I'm a man of God. I come from Judah. I'm on the road looking for a place to settle down. Levites were supposed to be ministers to the entire 12 tribes of Israel. And they were supposed to be supported financially by the people. Why is he roaming around? He's seeking someone where he can make a living. Obviously, the land was filled with idolatry in those days. There was no rules, no regulations. And the Levites were not being supported by the people financially. But this was not a reason to become an apostate. This was not a reason to backslide on God because people didn't put money in the offering plate. You don't give up your salvation because people aren't supporting you financially. You stick with God and you trust God and you love God. And God is your maker. And God is your provider. God is my provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. Not people. If people don't want to obey God, that's their problem. Let that curse come upon their home, not mine. Read the Bible. In America, I want to tell you, we can clear the dead out on Monday morning. If people in churches, just Christians across America, 350,000 churches, if every Christian would decide to tithe and give offerings to God, there'll be no debt. $17 trillion will be wiped away on Monday morning. Because we'll put money in the economy, because churches will be able to spend money, and preachers will be able to spend money because they can make a decent living. He was being robbed. I'll give him that. But that's no reason to become an apostate minister and get involved in idolatry. Micah said, stay here with me. Listen to this deal. And this is the same deal that we're getting today. Stay here with me. Be my father and priest. You see, there's no talk about a dad here, is there? He's got a domineering mother who's calling the shots. And there's no talk about his wife either, because all he says is that he ordained his son. Where's his wife? I'm pretty sure she flew the coop, not having to deal with mother-in-law. Such a loving person. You don't hear about his wife in this story. You just hear about the father and the son. You don't hear about him having a father. Because you know what? She probably ran that guy off somewhere. People wonder why men become passive. Whew. Bible says that if you're living in under a house and there's a continually dropping on the roof, on a tin roof, go live in the corner and the roof of the house to get away from it. Listen, follow me here. He says to him, I'll pay you 10 pieces of silver a year. Whatever clothes you need and your meals. The Levite agreed and moved in with Micah. The young man fit right in and became one of his family. Micah appointed the young Levite as his priest. This all took place in Micah's home. Look what the Levite sold out for. Just what we're selling out for. A bowl of porridge. A bowl of oatmeal. We're giving up our birthright in Jesus. We're giving up our families. We're allowing the enemy to walk in the front door. He's not even walking in the back door anymore because men are not standing guard. We're not being good soldiers of the cross. We're not being good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're not enduring the conflict and the fight. We're stressed out because we got to go get a massage. Fight for your family. Fight for your wife. Fight for your children. And if you got to tell your mother to shut up, tell her to shut up. Say, pastor, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm the pastor here this morning. I'm so sick of families being defeated. I'm so sick of men being wishy-washy. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of seeing children as victims, wandering in the wilderness, wondering if they have a dad anymore, wondering if they have a mom. I'm so sick of children being denied coming to church, school, and Sunday school and learning the word of God. I'm so sick of it. Because those children are going to grow up to be adults one of these days. And they're going to end up hating you. They're going to end up hating the church. They're going to end up hating the pastor who had nothing to do with it. Who tried to stop the plague that was happening in the church world. The pastors that still have the courage to go behind the pulpit and say, come on, man of God. Come on, woman of God. We've got to get together. We've got to get our families back. We've got to get our children back in the chicken coop, so to speak. Come on. We got to get our kids back to where they belong. We got to get our kids back to Jesus. We got to get our kids back to the cross. Come on, man. Work with me. The minister did not confront Micah concerning his idolatry. No, he went along with it. We don't want to rock the boat no more from the pulpit. He joined for money. He accepted the job offer, compromising his own morals and values as a servant of God. He became an apostate by receiving meager wages, room and board, one new suit of clothes a year. He sold out his soul by breaking the laws of God and practicing idolatry. It's in the Ten Commandments. Don't make any graven image before me. He knew better. And so do men today who know better. But we're refusing. Men trying to say, I'm got to find myself. Where? Well, find yourself where? In a bar? Where you want to find yourself? You know where you find yourself as a man? At the cross. At the altar. That's where you find yourself. find yourself. You're going to be looking a long time to find yourself unless you start looking to Jesus. Micah said, now I know that God, he's talking about God here. Now I know that God will make things go well for me. Why? I've got a Levite for a priest. This guy is sick. This guy's not thinking right. This guy worships an inanimate object. It's like me coming to church and telling you, I don't believe in Jesus anymore, but this speaker, Peavy, is now my God. What would you think of me? You think I lost my mind? You wouldn't come and hear me preach because I'm going to call that God now? I'm going to make it of silver and gold. I'm going to plate it. But that's exactly what we're doing in society. We're calling inanimate objects God. We're becoming God. We're going into the house of God and removing God and saying, I'm God now. You know when you do that? When you don't follow and you're not obedient to what God's saying, you become your own God. And you know what? God says, you will not be before me, child. I will slay you. I will put you down. The finger of God can go just like that, my friend. That's what God told Herod. He said, when the disciples said, hey, you better not go to Jerusalem. Herod's looking for you. He said, go tell that fox that the finger of God, just the finger of God, he doesn't even have to speak, just the finger of God raised, I can take him out. People have no idea what they're dealing with. He said, oh, I don't believe in God. You will. Eventually, you will meet God. Eventually, you will meet God. They just reported recently that they found another like 75 galaxies, something like that, some crazy number. This thing is so big, we think we're on Earth. We think this is the whole thing. This is nothing. God is omnipotent. He's so powerful. He's the creator. Who can make the tiniest animal that you can only see through a microscope and then make the biggest elephant? And then he says, I'm mindful of you, child. I'm mindful of you. I fashioned you in your mother's womb. His man, he sold out. Instead of telling Micah, listen, what you're doing is wrong, he joined with him. He accepted the clothes once a year, room and board. One new suit of clothes a year and a meager salary. And then Micah has the audacity to say, oh, now God's with me. I got a Levite for a priest. He was so deceived into believing he was secure spiritually because he had a Levite for a priest. Listen, the Bible says when we don't accept the truth, God has said, I'll send you a strong delusion that you'll believe the lie. I see a lot of people accepting lies today. I see a lot of people saying, I don't need my wife no more. When God says, I hate divorce. When God says in Ecclesiastes, cherish the wife of your youth. I see men discarding the women like bottles for nickels. It's wrong. There's going to be a price to pay, my friend. And the problem in society is preachers don't want to tell the truth. We want to compromise. We want to be like the Levite apostate. Sell out for a new suit of clothes a year and a meager salary. Not me. I don't need that. 40 years in this. I'm on my last mile of the way. I got to get to heaven. I got to get home. Come on, my people. I got to get home. I got to see Jesus. I got to see Jesus. Going through all these wars and all these conflicts and all these battles. My wife and my family and my children. Man, I got to see Jesus. I got to sit down with Jesus and say, Lord, thank you for bringing me through thick and thin, through trial and snares and storms and tribulations. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Nothing's changed, my friend. There are many today who believe the same thing. They believe idolatry is okay. They believe hugging a tree is okay. If truth came to them, they would think it's a foreign language. I said, if truth came to some people, they would think it's a foreign language. Here's a word about the Levites. I do sympathize with him in this sense. The people were not supporting the Levites in those days. They were holding back money because they got into idolatry. And I'll grant you, he was under pressure to make a living. I grant you, he was under pressure to support himself. But I'll tell you this, I've been under pressure many times in my life in the ministry. And I know one thing, and this is the one thing I know. To get the hand of your wife and hold hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're under pressure financially, and we need your help. With the grace of God, through the grace of God, no one has ever come to my house, thank God, and took out a television or a couch or a piece of furniture. God's always provided. God's always had food on the table. God's always had clothes for my children. God's always provided. I was in a tent revival down in the South. I used to preach tent revivals. And I'm putting up the flaps of the tent in the cool of the morning to get the heat out, to get the cool in. And I decided to sit on the altar and take a rest. It was hot. And I see this man walking in the tent, and he's got a box. Because in those days, I didn't have a whole lot of clothes. I went down to Montgomery Ward and got suits for $39. Yeah. And I had a pair of shoes that looked like a pair of circus shoes, like the clowns wear, where the sole of your foot comes up and it overlaps and it looked like clown shoes. And this man walks in the tent and he's got a box with him. Talk about believing in God. He says, brother, God spoke to me and told me to buy you a pair of shoes. Now, nobody knows my shoe size. Nobody knows that I have a triple E foot wide. This man comes in with a box of shoes. And I said, sir, how do you know my size? He said, God knows. I said, do you know I wear triple E? He said, brother, look at the box. It's your size. It's triple E. It'll fit you perfect. Woo! Some people say, oh, that was coincidence. Oh, that was coincidence. Why would God care about your shoes? He cares about the sparrow in my backyard. He cares about the birds. Why wouldn't he care about my shoes? This man, this Levite, yes, he had cause to have some issues with the people. But it was not a cause to become an apostate. Follow me. In Judges 18:1, in those days there was no king in Israel. But also in those days the tribe of Dan was looking for a place to settle down. They hadn't yet occupied their plot among the tribes of Israel. The Danites sent out 5 robust warriors from Zorah and Eshtaol to look over the land and see what was out there suitable for their families. They said, go and explore the land. They went into the hill country of Ephraim and got as far as the house of Micah. They camped there for the night. What's happening here? This is chapter 18 now. This tribe of Dan, small group of people, not the whole tribe, decided that they were entitled to other people's land, kind of like America. Oh, you go to work, you should give it to me. Oh, you go to work, you should pay for my insurance. You go to work, you should pay for my kids going to the movie. Really? I go to work to support my family. And if I want to give you something out of my heart, I will give it to you. But don't tell me I have to. Entitlement. Cell phones. All of this stuff that we're giving people in America to get their vote, to keep them hooked, compromising the message. The Bible says, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. That's what the word says. I didn't write it. Able-bodied people sitting on their front porches early in the morning while I get up and go to work. People sitting on their porches in Auburn while I'm going in my car 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning going to work and doing a 10-hour shift. And then you want me to give you my money at the end of 2 weeks to support your habit? Huh. Wait a minute. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something radically wrong with that picture. Because if that's what we're teaching our children, then they're going to think, well, where's my free cell phone? And where's my free groceries? And where's my lobster tail? You should be paying for it, they say. So this tribe of Dan sends out these guys and said, you know what? Go search out the land. We're entitled to something. Go take from someone else what they have and what they built because we deserve it. So in verse 3, they neared Micah's house. Listen to this coincidence again. They came to Micah's house, and they recognized the voice of the young Levite. Oh, they know the preacher. They know the preacher. They recognized the voice. They knew who the preacher was. Didn't you used to preach that at that church? We know you. What are you doing here? Whoa, this is an interesting story. Listen, the Bible says, how on earth did you get here? What's going on? What are you doing here? He said, one thing led to another. Micah hired me. He's a hireling. He's not a called servant of God. That's what hirelings are. They're hired for pay. I call them state preachers. That's exactly what happened in Hitler's Germany, my friend. When the men of God compromised, Hitler said, I'll give you a salary. And they flocked to Hitler as he was killing Jews. And it became state religion. And they got their salary while 6 million Jews burned in the ovens of Auschwitz. Because the men of God compromised, but not Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer stood up and said, you're wrong, Hitler. You're wrong in what you're doing. And he was killed for it. But he wrote in that prison and he told the truth because he refused to become a Levite apostate and compromise the message of the gospel. As we speak, Christians all across the world are being slaughtered. That maniac in North Korea who set a bunch of vicious, hungry dogs on his own uncle to kill him and eat him alive. Now in his hands, there's 33 Christian people he wants to put to death because they believe in Jesus. And we're sitting here in America saying, Lord, Pastor, I'm stressed out, man. Man, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. I don't know if I can go to work, man. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could raise a family. We're stressed out. How would you like to have a pack of dogs who haven't eaten for 2 weeks and they throw you in the lion's den and they eat you alive and you say you're stressed out? Stressed out. Only if you're stressed out, go down there and get your nails done. Go down and get your feet done. Because, man, you've checked out. I'm a baby boomer. I was born in 1948. My father was a tough longshoreman. My brothers were tough. I came from a tough family. My mother was tough. My mother was like Ma Barker. She only stood about 5'2", but I tell you what, she can have power in that right hand and knock you out. You never talk back to her. I look at young people today, they walk like they got a load in their pants, like their diaper's full. I see men 20, 21 years old. They're men. They're supposed to be men. Walking like, hey, man, got a joint, man. Hey, man. Hey, man, got chains, saggy pants, holes in their pants, no money in their pocket. And then the girls look at them and say, oh, he's hot. Hot for what? Hot for what? Going to give you what? Going to be a sperm donor, give you a baby, and trip you out and just put you to the side after you give birth and say, I don't even know who you are, honey. You sure it's my baby? Listen, I've dealt with guys like that for 17 years. You sure it's my kid? And try to get child support from them. Yeah, right. Can't take nothing from nothing. Oh, but he's so cute. Talk to some of the girls in the prison that I work with in council every week. Talk to them. They were so cute. Boo was so cute. Man, Boo. And Boo's cousin, Benny, he was even cuter. You stay with me for a few more moments? He said, these men knew the Levite, and they were familiar with him. You see, the Bible says in John 10 and 13, the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. So in verse 5, they said, oh, good, inquire of God for us. Inquire of God for us. This guy practicing idolatry. You want him to pray for you? I don't want no man of God praying for me that doesn't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't want nobody touching me who doesn't believe that Christ rose from the dead. I don't want nobody touching me that's a Levite apostate. Pray for us. So you can go kill people and take their land? The priest said, go, assured. Very. Go. Just go. God's looking out for you all the way. You know, those compromising preachers, they're so, so convincing. Send us your money. Put it on your credit card. Believe God. Come on, it's 2014. Send me $2,014 and God will bless you. What about grandma who doesn't have 24 cents to her name? God ain't going to bless her because she don't got 2014. Put it on a credit card, they tell you. Bless the ministry. Why? Why does God have to keep it going? Maybe he wants to close it down because you're not preaching the truth. Maybe you're a Levite apostate. That possible? Go inquire of God. So he says, oh, yeah, just go. The five men left and headed north to Laish. They saw that the people there were living in safety under the umbrella of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting. Here's people minding their own business. Here's people in a community minding their own business. Nobody bothering them. They're not bothering nobody. The Bible said they had everything going for them. But the people lived a long way from the Sidonians to the west and had no treaty with the Armenians to the east. You see, the Levite was smooth and convincing. He made them believe what he was telling them was from God. The Levite was playing a dangerous spiritual game, especially since he was in charge of an idolatrous house. He wasn't speaking for God. Because God is not going to tell me to tell you to go murder people and take their property. God's not going to talk to me and give you a word and say, hey, go murder your neighbor and take all of his gold and silver and take his kids and his cattle. God ain't going to say that. But these men believed that they were now inspired by God. So when they got back to Zorah and Eshtaol, their brothers asked them, so how did you find things? Now they're reporting back to the tribe. And they said, let's go for it. Let's attack. We've seen the land and it's excellent. Are you going to just sit there on your hands? Don't dawdle. Invade and conquer. When you get there, you'll find they're sitting ducks, totally unsuspecting, wide open land. God is handing it over to you. Everything you could ever ask for, God is handing this land over to you. See how deluded people get? See how religion becomes a spirit? People get religious spirits. And they need to be delivered from those religious spirits because they're actually believing that this belongs to them. These people had no army. And perhaps these people that lived in this community were a little wrong because they weren't going to defend themselves. I think they were wrong in that respect. Why do you lock your door? Why do you lock your car? Why do you lock up your belongings? Because you want to protect them. And that's what men should do. We should be protectors of our women and our families and our children and our homes and also of our churches. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amos said in Amos 6 and 1, woe to you who think you live on Easy Street in Zion, who think Mount Samaria is the good life. You assume you're at the top of the heap, voted the number one best place to live. This is America. Here's what we're saying. Hey, I got it, man. I got what I need. We live in America, man. If you don't like Burger King, go to Wendy's. You don't like Wendy's, go to McDonald's. They'll give you a little treat. They'll put a little car in your Happy Meal. If you don't like Applebee's, you can go to Alaska's. If you don't like it, you can go to Sunset. If you don't like something, you can go with the Hollywood, wherever you want to go. We got it made here, man. Woe to us that are ease at Zion. You see, we weren't planning on 3,000 Americans getting killed on 9/11, were we? You know, because we were sitting on our duffs and we were thinking, man, I got it good here. Man, I got it good here, man. I got a 401k. I got a good job. I got freedom. And while we were talking out of our mouth like the people were eating quail, and God said, you want quail? I'll give you quail. You have so much quail, you want to throw up with quail in the Old Testament. And as we were talking, all of a sudden, I got a phone call. Hey, Dad, put on the television. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing these planes moving to the towers of New York City. How did they do that? They crossed our borders. You know why? Because we forgot God. Look in the Bible. The Bible says that the coasts will be invaded first as a sign of judgment. They breached our coasts. They went to the capital of the world, the economic capital of the world, New York City. And what they really wanted to do was wipe out the White House. But there were some courageous men on that plane. That said, not going to happen. Courageous men who were on cell phones saying goodbye to their wives. Honey, I love you. Saying goodbye to their children. Son, I love you. Take care of your mama. Come on, people. This is America we're talking about. This is America. Where people came from Europe, your ancestors and mine, who came here for religious freedom to get away from the King of England. To come and have their own churches and their own altars and preach the word of God. What's happened to us? We don't care no more. Because we got our entitlements. We got our potato chips and our Pepsi and our beer and our hobbies. We have more prisoners in America than any other country in the world locked up. What's wrong with that picture? No one seems to care. They call me a crazy old man. I'm an old Pentecostal preacher. Crazy old man. Some people just would love my demise. Shut him up. No. God, keep me talking. Keep me talking. Because I love my country and I love people. But I'm so sick in my heart to see what's happening to us. I'm so sick of men laying down their guns and their weapons spiritually and saying, I can't do nothing no more. It's too much, Pastor. It's too much of a fight. No, it's not. You got to fight for your dignity, man. You got to fight for your respect, man. Who's in my foxhole this morning? Who's in my foxhole this morning? Who's watching my back? We're fighting for our families and our children and unsaved loved ones, people that are going to go to hell if we don't do something about it. Here's America, Revelation 3:17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We don't even know we are. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And God says this to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. That's to the church, people. If the church doesn't wake up, we're going to die as a country. We'll become a third world country. That's what we will. We'll become a third world country. They're demilitarizing the military. That's disappearing. Our soldiers, our veterans can't even get help. Men coming back with one leg and one arm. And they got to beg for help. You got to be kidding me. We're sending boys over there. And they've lost limbs and they're coming back. Oh, fill out this form. Fill out what form, man? You put a gun in my head. I went to Afghanistan. I got my leg blown off, man. I got to fight for what? I'm a vet, man. You got to be kidding me. We can't even get these people help. While people in Washington are eating their lobster and their $100 steaks. And riding on airplanes and taking vacations. When vets' wives can't even put a meal on the table. And they can't even buy clothes for their kids. God help us. God help us. Man, we've lost it. God help us. There's something wrong, man. There's something wrong. 600 Danite men sent out for Zorah and Eshtaol, armed to the teeth. Man, you're going to attack the Amish and the Mennonites. That's what it amounted to. Armed to the teeth to do what? To go attack the Mennonites and the Amish? Who aren't even going to fight? The five men who earlier had explored the country of Laish told their companions, "Do you know there's an ephod, a teraphim, idols, and a cast god sculpture in these buildings? What do you think? Do you want to do something about it?" So they turned off the road there. They said, "Wait, we got to make one stop before we go kill these people. We got to go back to Micah's house." Listen, stay with me for a few more minutes, would you? So they turned off the road and went to the house of the young Levite at Micah's place and asked how things had been with him. These five men are talking to him again. The 600 Danites, the soldiers, all well armed, stood guard at the entrance to the gate. So five guys go in to talk to the Levite while 600 soldiers are standing outside. Because the five men have a plan. They have a plan. And they're bullies. And I hate bullies. I hate tough guys who think they're wise guys. And while the five scouts had gone to explore the land, they went in and took the carved idol, the ephod, the teraphim idols, and the god sculpture. And the priest was standing at the gate of the entrance with the 600 armed men. Pure entitlement, even though it was an idolatrous stuff. They just went in there and took what didn't belong to them. Just like America, my friend. Entitlement. Oh, you have to give to me. Oh, I don't feel like going to work. You should support me. I don't have to go to work. You go to work, you support me. You make a lot of money. Really? Entitlement. They thought it was theirs for the taking. No different today concerning people who think they deserve what you've worked hard for. Verse 18, when the five went into Micah's house and took the carved idol, the ephod, the idols, the sculpture god, the priest said to them, "What do you think you're doing?" Man loves to justify his evil behavior by sprinkling it over with a hint of religion. It makes him feel good when he kills others for his own gain. He forms a set of rules and regulations he believes is his religion. And if anything interferes with his beliefs, he feels justified in doing whatever it takes to preserve his beliefs. You know what he said? He said to the, "Listen, this is our stuff. You're just a punk Levite priest. You see 600 men out there? You want to fight? You see us five guys? You want to fight?" They said to him, "Hush, don't make a sound," in verse 19. "Come with us." Now they're going to make him a deal. They told him, "Shut up. It's none of your business what we're doing." He says, "Don't make a sound." They said to him, "Come with us. Be our father and priest." See, these people just love this hint of religion. Which is more important, that you be a priest to one man or that you become priest to a whole tribe and a clan in Israel? Oh, what a deal they're giving him now. Oh, we'll make you popular. We'll make you the pastor of the big church. We'll give you the brick parsonage. You'll be somebody. Everybody will come to you and they'll ask you, "How did you build that big church? What happened?" Look how they appeal to the Levite. "We'll give you a large church with many people." That's what they were saying. Why be a priest to one man when you can be a priest to a whole tribe? They appealed to his ego, and the Levite ended up betraying Micah for popularity and gain. That's what people will betray you for, popularity and gain. They'll leave you in a minute. They'll betray you in a minute. This Judas is all around this earth, my friend. Listen, preach smooth things and don't rock the boat, Mr. Levite, and we'll take care of you beyond your imagination. The Levite was a hireling and a professional preacher and not an anointed man of God serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you know what he did? He left Micah, betrayed Micah, and said, you know what, Micah, I got a better deal. I'm going with the Danites. Look who he's going with. The priest jumped at the chance, verse 20. He took the ephod, the teraphim idols, and the idol and fell in with the troops. He fell right in, blended right in. A chameleon. Accepted. I'm one of you boys. Watch out for me now. How much salary did you say I'm going to get? Did you say I'm going to get a suit of clothes every couple of months? Wow. Room and board? Where am I going to be living? What am I going to be eating? As long as I compromise the truth, I'm going to get all these goodies. Is there a cell phone included? How about cable network? Can I get Dish or do I get DirecTV? Do I get the football package or do I get the basketball package? Don't lose me now. Stay with me for a few more minutes. He brought the infection with him. See, that's what men do. They bring the infection with them. When you're in the world and you're in sin, you bring the infection home. The infection that was in Micah's house now is going to infect all these people because he's taken the idolatrous God with him. He brought false religion from Micah's house, and now he's going to infect a whole tribe with false religion. Like people on those bicycles in the summer. Like those people who knock on your door and want to put a foot in the door and say, I want to talk to you about God. Don't come here and talk to me about God because you don't know God. Get back on your bicycle and go home. Go back to Utah. Because you ain't coming to my house and bringing that junk with you. Because you don't believe in the blood of Jesus. You don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. They turned away and set out, putting the children, the cattle, and the gear in the lead. The Danites got all their people together, and they were well on their way from Micah's house before Micah and the neighbors got organized. Now Micah is waking up and he's saying, hey, wait a minute now. Somebody stole my idol God. And he starts knocking on the neighbor's doors. Hey, George. Hey, Louie. Hey, Benny. Guess what? They stole out of my private chapel, man. Can you come with me? Sure, we can go with you. Sure, because they're all part of that false religion. Yeah, we'll go with you. Sure, let's go. And the Bible says they soon overtook the Danites. And Micah and these neighbors are shouting at them, and they said, and the Danites turned around and said, so what's all the noise about? Well, what's the problem, Micah? What's all your noise? You see, when you don't have God in your life, you have no power. When you don't have God in your life, you have no authority. No one's going to listen to you. People are going to ignore you. But when you got the power of God in your life, someone's going to listen to you. When you got the authority of God, someone's going to listen to you. Micah said, you took my God, the one I made, the one mommy gave you the money for, and you took my priest, and you marched off. What do I have left? How can you now say, what's the matter? But the Danites answered, don't you yell at us. You just might provoke some fierce, hot-tempered men to attack you, and you'll end up an army of dead men. Ooh. I think Micah is backing down a little bit now. Where's his God now? Where's his religion now? The Danites went on their way, and Micah saw that he didn't stand a chance against their arms. He turned back and went home. That's what's happening in America to men. We're turning back, and we're going back home to mommy. Because we won't defend our wives and our children. Because we don't want to become spiritual and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We want to be tough guys. Listen, I was raised with tough people. You know what I told the prisoners yesterday? You know those tough people that became godfathers of the mob? That thought they were God? got shot in the head and got killed one by one. You listen to me. I'm dealing with a prisoner now who's a high-level blood gang member. Multiple bodies, many deaths, many people that he has under him. And I'm trying to help him. He sat in my office, 25 years old, 13 years a gang member. He sat in my office, he looks like an old man, old man. And he said, Pastor, he said, I thought I was God. He said, I say it, and it happened. I say, you, it happened. He said, Pastor, he got out of control. He says, I thought I was God. I feared nobody. And he says, look at me today, Pastor. I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I'm nothing. And I got to testify against my own brother and cousins who will end up doing 30 years in prison. Pastor, what happened? Son, I'm going to tell you what happened. You left church. You got out on your own. And you started worshiping idols, and that idol became yourself, son. And now look what you're facing. You got a life of a mess. No matter which way you turn, you're going to lose. Oh, the feds are going to give you 3 years. And then you're going to go into the witness protection program because he says, you know why I'm doing it? He says, because I have 2 children, 7 and 8 year old boy and girl, and I got to get them out of that environment. And to do it, I got to testify against my own blood that I gave orders to kill people. People have no idea what's going on in society. I know too much. I hear too much. I see too much. And the average person has no idea what's going on outside on the four walls of the church. Most pastors don't even know what's going on because they live in a bubble. Live in a bubble. Let me close. Last verses. So they took the things that Micah made along with the priest. They arrived at Laish, that city of quiet and unsuspecting people. They massacred the people and burned down the city. There was no one around to help. They were a long way from Sidon and had no treaty with the Armenians. Laish was a valley, was in the valley of Beth Rehob. When they rebuilt the city, they named it Dan after their ancestor who was a son of Israel, but its original name was Laish. The Danites set up the god figure for themselves. Listen to this now. Jonathan, son of Gershom, the son of Moses. The son of Moses. The son of Moses. You know who Moses was, don't you? He led 3 million Jews over the Red Sea. He's the one that pronounced plagues on the Pharaoh. He's the one that God used to free people. This is his heritage. You see, when you become an apostate, what happens to your children? It don't just affect you. It affects your kids. It affects your children's children, which will be your grandchildren, and it goes down to the third and fourth generation. Man does not know what he's doing when he moves away from God. Men don't know what they're doing when they figure out and say to themselves, I don't need Jesus. All during that time, there was a sanctuary of God in Shiloh. Why go to church in Shiloh? Why go down to the church that preaches the truth when we've got Micah's God right here? Where did this all begin? As I close, Micah and his mother had a toxic relationship that enabled each other's lies and deceit. Their decision to build an idol not only affected their family and those in their specific area, but their idolatry ended up enslaving an entire tribe of Israel. Every decision we make has good and bad consequences. Our every decision affects others and can be far-reaching into the future. Micah and his mother had a toxic relationship with each other, but they also had a toxic relationship with the Levite. They were all codependents and fed off each other and used each other for their own selfish advantage. Where does that leave me and you this morning? I have children. I have grandchildren. I have a son-in-law. I have a daughter-in-law. I have a church that God has allowed me to pastor. I tell you what I'm doing. I've become like Job. I get up early and I pray just in case prayers. Are you hearing me? I said I get up early and I pray just in case prayers. I say, God, just in case, cover my family. Cover the church. Cover your people. God, that we sin not. God, cover us. That's the only thing I know to do anymore. It's my life. Talking to God. Pleading with God. Saying, God, the children. Remember the children. Listen to what it says. I close with Malachi. Last book of the Bible. Look at here. Sister Peggy, come to the piano. I'll be in a moment. What does it say? It says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I don't want no curse on my family. I don't want no curse on my children or my grandchildren or my children's children. He promised that if us fathers do not get this right and become the spiritual leaders of our home, a curse will come upon us. And when God curses you, it's not like your mommy can lift it, because now you're under the chastisement of Almighty God. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Listen, this was ordained. This message, my wife said, when did you get this message? I get this message about 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. Had no idea who was going to be here. Had no idea some of the problems that exist in the house of God. But God knows. We have a choice, my friend. Jesus is coming. Some people don't believe that. That's all right. He's coming. Do you have oil in your lamps? And are you ready for the coming of Jesus? You see, the Bible says in the last day, and Peter, they'll say, where's the promise of his coming? The drunken servant in Matthew 24 in the last few verses will become drunk and say, hey, forget it. He's not coming. Let's go out and have a party. Let's go have a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry. And like the unsuspecting people in Laish, the enemy will come one more time to America. Listen to me. He will come one more time to America and put the big hit on us. And 9/11 will look like a picnic. 9/11, listen, there's a plane missing. It weighs 600,000 pounds. They can't find a plane. Oh, they know where the plane is. They're just trying to figure out what the plane's going to be used for. 9/11, right into the towers in New York City. 3,000 people gone, dead. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me?